It's the 8 o'clock hour of Rosie on the House, the outdoor living hour, where we have current host John J. Harper of Harper's Nursery, also president of the Arizona Nursery Association, as well as John Eisenhower of Integrity Tree Service, talking trees. Enjoy some of the most frequent topics we cover here in the outdoor living hour. Our scary topic, Marie writes in and says, a few months ago, you were talking with John Eisenhower about a tree not to plant. And that actually happens to be your tree that you're bringing us today.
That's right. Every month we have our tree of the month, and it's usually an awesome tree that's going to be a perfect choice for any homeowner in a certain application. But because it's Halloween today, we thought we would pick a bad tree that you don't want, a wicked tree that it causes more trouble in landscapes around Phoenix than any other tree we know of. And it's the Dalbergia sissu. It's an Indian rosewood. It's a very aggressive growing tree, aggressive rooting tree, very fast growing tree. So they're popular. Landscapers will put them in. Nurseries love them because people like a tree that's going to achieve its landscape purpose quickly and fulfill their desires for a nice, huge shade tree. If you have the room for them in a big irrigated lot way out in the South 40, you know, it might be a good choice for you. But if you're thinking of trying to put in a tree close to a block wall, anywhere near a lawn, you need to be kind of careful because these trees send up little baby trees from their roots. And once they get established, the little sprouts will start emerging. And if you have a lawn anywhere nearby, they pop up and all of a sudden you've got thousands of little trees and a nightmare on your hands.
Where is this tree originally native?
I think it's in India. It's an Indian rosewood. And where they grow naturally, it must be a bit of a jungle because these trees are really pretty cool trees, actually. They have no thorns. They're evergreen. They're slightly frost tolerant, but they're pretty nice. The city of Scottsdale put lots of them in about 25 years ago in throughout the downtown city area around Fifth Avenue, down along Main Street. And they rue the day they made that choice to put those trees in. Although they did achieve their landscape purpose, and there's a few of them that are still in town, most of those trees are gone because they've lifted the sidewalks, lifted the pavers, lifted the curbing, destroyed hardscape, and it's been a real bit of a nightmare.
We sure get a lot of phone calls from homeowners. How do I get rid of all these little things popping up in my yard? It's constant if you have one.
Yeah, and I've served as an expert witness on two litigations where homeowners who have their neighbors have the sissu trees that have grown under the block wall into their yard and destroyed their landscapes, and they've asked us to come in and try to help to sort that out. So think twice before you choose a Dalbergia sissu.
As we continue on our Rosie on the House Best of 2015 show, here's another common topic we've covered: raised planter beds. We love them.
Let's go to Maricopa and bring Steve into the conversation at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. Steve, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are we doing this morning?
Good. Go ahead with your question.
I'm still relatively new to Arizona and just can't stand not having a garden any longer. So I've got to plant something. I want to grow potatoes, but I don't know. Can we even grow potatoes down here?
We can. You could grow sweet potatoes this time of year. You're too late for, you know, an Irish or a white type potato. We could grow those in the late fall and grow them, you know, all through the winter and then harvest them, you know, in the mid to late spring. Sweet potatoes do wonderfully here all summer. And then about, Roma, you grew a bunch of sweet potatoes one year. About Thanksgiving, they're about right. That, of course, you got to have a lot of room to grow potatoes.
They're a beautiful vine.
And it is a pretty ground cover.
And it smells good. And we had just taken one from the grocery store, cut it in half, stuck toothpicks, stuck it in the mason jar, waited for it to sprout, stuck it in the ground. Thanksgiving came and we got out there with the shovel. And I mean, huge, huge sweet potatoes, a size from my fingers to my elbow, some of these. And for the leading up to that point, something I always brought to Thanksgiving was, boil them, mash them down, add a little molasses, put them in a casserole dish, and top it with pecans and bring that. So finally, it was tomatoes from our garden, not store-bought. So I was making a big deal about it. got to Uncle Rennie's across town and realized I left it on the kitchen table.
Oh,
oh man. Well, you know,
but it was great when, as a leftover home that the next day.
I have baked sweet potatoes like you were doing baked potatoes.
Oh, yeah.
And I have also put them on the smoker.
Oh, yeah.
And they're fantastic that way. Now, the soil we have down here in Maricopa is really like a heavy clay type soil.
Welcome to Phoenix.
Yeah. Okay. And I've heard people say that you can grow potatoes in, like, the whiskey barrels, uh-huh. or even take a one of the plastic 55-gallon drums, cut them in half, and grow them that way. Can you do the sweet potatoes that way or no?
You know, sweet potato is a little different, because technically it's not, a true potato. So it's got to grow and re-root, above ground and then kind of root where it touches. You could try it. I'm not sure it would work the way out. Actual potatoes, I've seen guys, one way to do it is you can take old tires. It's kind of a Cajun thing. You take a tire and you put soil in it. And you put
a brother that's from Kentucky. It kind of made me think there for a minute.
Oh, yeah, there you go. And then as the potato vine grows up through that first tire, you put another tire on top of that, and you just kind of keep building it and adding soil. And then when they're all done, you just tear that apart, and you got potatoes all the way up and down. That way, you don't take up a lot of room. That way, I'm not sure if you could do sweet potatoes that way. It'd be worth a try.
And you could do it both ways: put some in the ground like you normally would, and do the tire.
I will tell you though, sweet potatoes on the ground, if you're doing, you better have some space because they go nuts. They grow everywhere.
And as a newcomer to Arizona, we've got to tell him: raised planters are the way to go. I mean, he can amend that expansive clay soil down there in Maricopa for 10 years and get it about where it should be, or he just gets some Belgard dry stack walls, raise a planter up about 2 feet, throw some already amended garden-ready soil in there, and be ready to go. He's going to be miles ahead.
Takes a little getting set up, but once you're set up, it's a lot easier to work and grow in. Sure, you bet.
Steve, take that from a carpenter, me, Rosie, who's been trying to garden in his backyard for 25 years. Raised planters. My garden is perfect right now, but it's taken 10 years of doing the Harper Soil Amendment Program every planting season to get it there. So raised planters, import your soil. You're going to be miles ahead. I will never take a ground garden again.
The nice thing about raised garden is you can start at a certain size, and those dry stuff, if you want to make it bigger, you just kind of take an end off and expand it out and build, and just kind of expand it as as you get better and better at gardening and want to grow that garden bigger and bigger and try new things.
You can create a weed border on the bottom. You can create a gopher border across the bottom that can't get in there. For 100 million different reasons, raised planters for Rosie are the only way to go.
And if you build it high enough, you don't have to do a lot of gardening down on your knees or bent over.
Just make sure you don't make it too deep. But yeah, if you're gonna get it up to, if you don't want to stoop, and as we get older, we think about things like that. But yeah, absolutely.
And for keeping rabbits out of it, raised gardens, if you do them high enough as well, it helps keep your critters out. Now, it does take more water.
Yes. Yeah. The soil does dry out quicker.
So there you go, Steve. Welcome to Maricopa. Good luck with your potatoes. Let us know how they grow for you.
Another big part of 2015 for Rosie on the House is traveling all across the state of Arizona. Here's Romy broadcasting from the world's largest juniper tree.
We are talking trees with John Eisenhower of Integrity Tree Service, and we're on a special location. We are standing on a ridge south of Granite Mountain, west of Prescott. And we're out here to view the champion juniper tree. John, what's a champion tree?
Well, this is the largest alligator juniper known to be anywhere in the world. It's a world champion tree, unbelievable size tree. I'd never seen it until today. And we got here before dawn.
We did, and I set up the broadcast. I had to wait here to broadcast the 7 o'clock hour, and John said, well, I can't talk about this tree without seeing it. We came here yesterday to do a site check, and once you go a little north of this ridge that we're standing on towards the tree, you lose cell connection. So this is where I had to stop, and John said, I'm going to see the tree. And you found it.
What a beautiful spot you chose, though. This is great. Panoramic view, 360 degrees all the way around these hillsides. Yeah, I hoofed it all the way down. I saw the map yesterday. I didn't have a map with me, but I knew the trail where it led to. And I knew when I got to the edge of this ridge, it would drop down into a wash, as Richard said yesterday. Got there, and there's like two trails going two different directions. I didn't know where to go. And I went down one about 200-300 yards, and I still didn't see any sign of a big tree. And I thought, oh no, I better hike up to the top of the hill so I could glass a little bit. I brought my binoculars. I got up on the top of the hill. Now it was so tall, I couldn't see the profile of any big trees. All the trees were kind of blended into a big mass of forest. But I started glassing up and down the wash near where I thought it should be, and I saw the red bandanas, the 19 red bandanas on a memorial for the 19 hotshot firefighters that died in the Yarnell Hill Fire.
So the 19 hotshots that perished in Yarnell a week earlier were sent in during the Dose Fire to save this champion tree.
Right. They apparently cut brush, cut fire lines in this area to save that big tree. And they've now set up a monument there on their behalf. And it's a beautiful, fitting memorial for these 19 firefighters who died a week later in the Yarnell Hill Fire because they helped to save this champion tree. It's really amazing.
And this may be a question for Richard. Any idea how old this tree is?
1,800 to 2,000 years old, they're estimating. And it's huge. It's 384 inches around, about, you know, I don't know, 15, that's like 15 feet in diameter or circumference. And it's massive. It's 55, 60 feet tall, about 70 foot spread. I guess it's 52 feet tall, 70 foot spread. And it's just magnificent. It's unbelievable. I didn't have much time because I had to make it here back for the broadcast. So I sat there for a few minutes, took a couple pictures of the tree, and I said a prayer for those, you know, on behalf of all of our firefighters and service personnel who lay their lives on the line every day for us.
Amen. And junipers are known for their berries. Were there any berries ready for you?
You know, I saw berries. There's this one big tree on the trail down there, and it's just littered all underneath it, beautiful, ripe berries. And I munched them all the way there and back. So I got a little bit of we didn't have time for breakfast when we took off so early, so that was a nice little snack. But
so what is it? Compare it to another berry. Does it taste like a blueberry, a blackberry, a raspberry?
Almost like a nut because these are dried a little bit. You just have to kind of break the outer skin and take the little hard seeds out of them, and then you eat the pulp inside, and man, it's good. It's just sort of a berry and a nut kind of mixed into one.
So let's back up a little bit. That's the story of the champion tree that we'll get a little bit more detail on. But what brought us to Prescott to begin with?
Well, this weekend we had the Arizona Community Tree Council has their annual conference, and it's a gathering of arborists and other industry professionals from around the state and the Southwest who converge on Prescott every year to talk about trees and how we can maintain them, how we can care for them, and it's always a great time, a real mixture, cross-pollination of ideas and great educational workshops.